By some unwritten city ordinance, most of the nightclubs and watering holes in Ada were on the periphery of the town, banished to the edges to keep the riffraff and their mischief away from the better folks. The Coach Light was one such place, a cavernous metal building with bad lighting, cheap beer, jukeboxes, a weekend band, a dance floor, and outside a sprawling gravel parking lot where dusty pickups greatly outnumbered sedans. Its regulars were what you would expect: factory workers looking for a drink before heading home, country boys looking for fun, late-night 20-somethings, and the dance and party crowd there to listen to live music. Vince Gill and Randy Travis passed through early in their careers. It was a popular and busy place, employing many part-time bartenders and bouncers and cocktail waitresses. One was Debbie Carter, a 21-year-old local girl who'd graduated from Ada High School a few years earlier and was enjoying the single life. She held two other part-time jobs and also worked occasionally as a babysitter. Debbie had her own car and lived by herself in a three-room apartment above a garage on 8th Street near East Central University. She was a pretty girl, dark-haired, slender, athletic, popular with the boys, and very independent. Her mother, Peggy Stillwell, worried that she was spending too much time at the Coach Light and other clubs. She had not raised her daughter to live such a life. In fact, Debbie had been raised in the church. After high school, though, she began partying and keeping later hours. Peggy objected, and they fought occasionally over the new lifestyle. Debbie became determined to have her independence. She found an apartment, left home, but remained very close to her mother. On the night of December 7th, 1982, Debbie was working at the Coach Light, serving drinks and watching the clock. It was a slow night, and she asked her boss if she could go off duty and hang out with some friends. He did not object, and she was soon sitting at a table having a drink with Gina Vieta, a close friend from high school, and some others. Another friend from high school, Glenn Gore, stopped by and asked Debbie to dance. She did, but halfway through the song, she suddenly stopped and angrily walked away from Gore. Later, in the ladies' restroom, she said she would feel safer if one of her girlfriends would spend the night at her place, but she did not say what worried her. The Coach Light began closing early, around 12:30 a.m., and Gina Vieta invited several of their group to have another drink at her apartment. Most said yes. Debbie, though, was tired and hungry and just wanted to go home. They drifted out of the club in no particular hurry. Several people saw Debbie in the parking lot chatting with Glenn Gore as the Coach Light was shutting down. Tommy Glover knew Debbie well because he worked with her at a local glass company. He also knew Gore. As he was getting in his pickup truck to leave, he saw Debbie open the driver's door of her car. Gore appeared from nowhere. They talked for a few seconds, then she pushed him away. Mike and Terry Carpenter both worked at the Coach Light. He as a bouncer, she as a waitress. As they were walking to their car, they passed Debbie's. She was in the driver's seat talking to Glenn Gore, who was standing beside her door. The Carpenters waved goodbye and kept walking. A month earlier, Debbie had told Mike that she was afraid of Gore because of his temper. Tony Ramsey worked at the club as a shoeshine girl. The oil business was still booming in Oklahoma in 1982. There were plenty of nice boots being worn around Ada. Someone had to shine them, and Tony picked up some much-needed cash. She knew Gore well. As Tony left that night, she saw Debbie sitting behind the wheel of her car. Gore was on the passenger's side, crouching by the open door outside the car. They were talking in what seemed to be a civilized manner. Nothing appeared to be wrong. Gore, who didn't own a car, had bummed a ride to the Coach Light with an acquaintance named Ron West, arriving there around 11:30. West ordered beers and settled in to relax while Gore made the rounds. He seemed to know everyone. When last call was announced, West grabbed Gore and asked him if he still needed a ride. "Yes," Gore said. So West went to the parking lot and waited for him. A few minutes passed, then Gore